Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's episode is brought to you by InHarvest, spearheading delicious innovation on school menus with rice and rice blends and intact whole grains. InHarvest, the perfect partner for schools looking to implement the whole grains requirement in creative new ways. For more information, visit InHarvest.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning and welcome to Inside School Food on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Laura Stanley, back with another episode of News and Shop Talk for K through 12 nutrition professionals and other school food insiders. Before I launch into today's topic, I'm going to say at the top of the show what I usually say for the end, just to make sure everyone hears it. We recently did some analysis of listener data for our last season, which ended in December. And wow, we've got lots of you listening now from all over the nation. So, you know, we are thrilled and honored to be serving so many. And hundreds of you have answered our call to let us know who you are by signing up for our newsletter or by following our news feeds on Facebook or Twitter. So if you've done that already, thank you so much. And if you haven't, now is the time. It's so easy. And it really is a huge help to us. Go to InsideSchoolFood.com and connect to us with a click. While you're there, you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher, and then you will never miss an episode. Okay, today I am super excited to introduce a terrific project that I've been watching ever since the launch of Inside School Food 2 years ago. The California Culinary Centers are an ACE team of 18 school districts distributed throughout the state, all the way from Chico Unified in the far northeast to Ensenada's Union, way down to the south. And for 5 years, these districts served as peer mentors to other districts statewide, functioning much in the way USDA's Team Up for Nutrition Success does now. They called themselves the California Ambassadors, and the program was in fact a prototype for Team Up, so that's another instance of California spearheading the way for school nutrition nationally. The culinary districts, or rather the culinary center districts, are now focused on the recipe database that we're going to talk about today. It's a fantastic resource. It's a big and growing collection developed by school cooks for school cooks, and some of those cooks have actually been high school students, and we'll be talking more about that in the second half of today's show. But first, we're going to speak with Sandy Kerwood. Sandy has been a Culinary Center leader from the get-go, first from her post as Food and Nutrition Services Director for Ventura Unified, where she served for 12 years, and now from the Caneo Valley Unified School District, where she is the Director of Childhood Nutrition Services since 2013. Sandy is a registered dietitian, and currently she's pursuing a doctorate in hospitality management. So, Sandy, hi. Welcome to Inside School Food.
Hi, good morning, Laura. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm really happy to be finally profiling this project. But I want to start with a few words about your personal history. It's kind of different. You entered school nutrition as a parent activist, and that's something we don't see too much. Can you just like quickly tell us how that happened?
Sure. As you mentioned, I was a registered dietitian, and I've been a food service director for many years prior to entering school. And I'd worked in a variety of healthcare and food service settings, you know, college, airline catering, restaurants, both public and private sector. But being the mom of three, when my children, particularly my oldest, entered middle school, I was really concerned with the types of foods that were being served, especially things that were being sold to kids. So I became the PTA president, and I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to advocate for, you know, how to raise funds without having to do with unhealthy food. Mm-hmm. And I became very interested in that. And when a position came open as a school food service director, I thought I could make a bigger impact. And that is the work I've been doing ever since.
So that's nice for your parents because you've been on the other side. So that's an interesting story. And I know that you were an early pioneer in farm to school, in taking inspiration from Rodney Taylor in Santa Monica. You know, when you were doing that back in the mid-2000s, weren't you?
Yeah, we started when I went to Ventura Unified in 2001. I had also had a background in environmental issues, and I had worked in my community really on land use and interested in local seasonal fresh foods. So when I went to Ventura, I met Rodney Taylor, and he had just started a couple years prior his farm to school work. And Ventura County is a very agricultural community, so we launched our farm to school program at Ventura Unified at that time, and we were about the fifth or sixth in the country to have farm to school. Our work not only was about getting local fresh seasonal produce into the schools, but it was also about connecting school gardens with the curriculum, teaching kids to eat healthy in the classroom, and making those curricular and food connections across the grade levels and across the garden to the cafeteria to the classroom.
Yeah, so I love your origin story, so thank you for telling us about it. But let's delve into today's topic, which is the Culinary Center's recipe database, which is officially called the Fresh Meals Recipe Collection. You know, it's online, it's available to all. You know, when you open it up, what do you see?
When you open up, you have an option to look at either directly to the recipes by menu category. You can look at what district developed the recipe, and also you can look at the tools that were used to develop the recipes and the process that was used, and even follow that same process for districts that want to maybe tweak recipes that they're using. So it's a very user-friendly website. It's at the CaliforniaHealthyKids.org. And as you mentioned, the program's called Fresh Meals at Schools.
And there's a bunch, and you're still adding. So it's like, you're at 140 recipes right now?
Yeah, we have 140 recipes, and as you mentioned, 18 school districts participated. And the school food service directors, along with their chefs and their staff, their students, and even I think some community members, really helped develop the concepts and help make the recipes very user-friendly and realistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, so user-friendly, realistic are one of the goals, but you have some other goals that, I mean, all of the goals for this are really important. But one thing that really strikes me when I'm going through the collection is, first of all, how many dishes are so atypical for school food, and also how culturally diverse they are. And yet they've been student tested. We know that they work with kids or else they wouldn't be there. So tell us, you know, what's on there that's new and exciting that you know, that works.
Well, I think what's interesting, as you mentioned, the districts are from all over the state, but they're also from all different types of districts, both small, medium, and large districts, urban, suburban, and rural settings, different production capacities. You know, some have, you know, great kitchens. Others have limited resources in terms of staff and equipment. So the recipes really looked at what is that community about. I think, first of all, kids these days are very global. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of food experience, but yet they don't have necessarily well-developed palates. So when you look at what's in season, and then you connect that with what is culturally relevant, and also opportunities to open their eyes, different districts have different cultural backgrounds in their populations. So it's a great opportunity to kind of bring those in. For example, Alameda did some really interesting things with both Middle Eastern food as well as some Asian recipes, things like sushi using USDA catfish. So it sounds, you know, like, wow, would kids really eat that? Well, kids really do, because it's delicious, it's fresh, and, you know, it speaks to them and it engages them in the process. So I think those were all things making it culturally relevant, which is an education opportunity, mm-hmm. also making it fresh and tasty.
And what are some other dishes that are kind of out there? I remember seeing a dish that was based on a Filipino recipe, and you mentioned Middle Eastern.
I think it's called bimbap. Mm-hmm. It was not a recipe that I was familiar with, mm-hmm. But there are... we did a margarita pizza. Mm-hmm. So you take that basic pizza, you make a marinara with USDA foods, but also adding fresh ingredients like fresh basil from the garden. Mm-hmm. That and chopped fresh tomatoes, that really, really steps it up the recipe. Sandwiches like a beef torta, which would be, a more Mexican cuisine. Yeah. Caribbean turkey pita. And also vegetarian alternatives so that kids do have some choices.
Right. Vegetarian is popular. When we talk to Vince later, we're going to hear about Meatless Monday in his district. I know that's popular throughout California. So you've got a whole category there. Are there any good veggie dishes you recommend in particular in the collection?
A lot of the salads are great complements of beans and grains, and those are great protein complements, mm-hmm. Which really speaks to kids. Like chickpea vegetable and brown rice salad. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, it's colorful, and it's very tasty. We do a vegetarian mock fried rice that has, you can either put, if you want to make it a meat dish, you could add chicken, or you could use tofu. It has edamame and carrots and broccoli. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these dishes, you can change out the seasonal vegetables and keep it in season so that it's local, seasonal, and culturally relevant. Mm-hmm. It is a really nice way to enhance your farm-to-school program.
All right. So it took a long time for you to coordinate the efforts of all these different people. And really, there's dozens of cooks involved from the 18 districts. And so it was sort of a project with a lot of moving parts. You told me that... And I quote you here, recipe development is not the same as cooking. Can you, unpack that meant?
Yes. So, most people can, take a recipe and follow that. But to develop a recipe, especially one that is standardized, so that no matter who makes it, in what setting, you yield the same results, mm-hmm. Is very different. And so we spent a lot of time, so someone would come up with a recipe idea, they would test it, but then they had to analyze it. So you would have to analyze it for nutrient content and contribution to the meal program, mm-hmm. because the recipe is only as good as meeting the guidelines. So then you have to go back and test it on the students, make sure that it's, the flavor profile that appeals to them. And then you have to go back and do that again, mm-hmm. so that it looks great, the instructions make sense, that it meets the guidelines, and that it's kid approved. So that is a lengthy process to standardize, 18 school districts with a variety of equipment and capacities, and make that so that any district could use that recipe with the same results.
And were you testing across recipes? So, Chico would, develop one recipe and a different district would serve it to their kids? That happen?
When we originally developed the recipes, each district kind of did their own testing, but then we started saying, hey, that recipe looks really great. Can I test it? Mm-hmm. And then we would take it and test it with our own students. And as the recipes developed over a few years, we integrated those recipes into our menu. For example, the green chili pork chili verde burrito. Mm-hmm. Is become one of our kids' favorites.
Across the state?
In our district.
Okay.
But I've seen other school districts, do different recipes like the Rock and Moroccan stew that Jen Gerard developed in Monterey.
Yeah.
Is a real fun one. So the kids like the fun names.
Yeah.
And some of the recipes like our chicken curry in a hurry, mm-hmm. Also works well for catering because it's a little bit more upscale and and appeals to adults as well.
I love those names, Curry and Hurry. Rockin' Rockin'. Okay, that's good. You know, Sandy, what's interesting here is that there really are a lot of parallels to the story of the development of your recipes to another collection that we profiled in late 2014, which was coming out of Vermont. And it was the same thing. So many school cooks had to kind of come up with a consistent protocol that would work in a variety of settings, and then testing across different districts to make sure it wasn't just in one place that it would work out. They had to work on not just nutrient analysis and USDA meal compliance, but HACCP protocol. You know, so there's just so many details that don't, you know, come up in a conventional cookbook, even one that's for food service professionals that are not in public schools, right?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, yeah. So I know that you're getting a lot of calls from people who are using these. They're not all necessarily coming from California. And what are you hearing about them, and what kind of questions do they have when they contact you about the collection?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think one of the things that resonate across the country is recipes that are a little different, mm-hmm. That have been kid-tested, and that have the Department of Education approval. So not only do they get the, yes, you know, the peers have tried it, so there's a sense of trust, but also it has the credibility and support from the Department of Education so that they know that they meet the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And that just takes one or two or three more, you know, things off the plate of the director to have to, you know, you can be innovative on the shoulders of someone else, and you don't have to start everything from scratch. So I think that has been one of the benefits of the project. And also, the way I think why one reason why people call is if they have a different type of production system. For example, Centralia and Conejo, we have a central kitchen. And Riverside has a central kitchen, but Riverside, you know, serves 30,000 kids. Mm-hmm. Where Centralia is about 5 and we're about 15. So different size districts and different production styles and different staff training, sometimes directors have questions about that. Yeah. How did you bring your staff up to speed? You know, how did you source some of these ingredients? How did you do this when you know you're going to pack, chill, and retherm? So, you know, different production styles lend themselves to different techniques. And sometimes people just like to discuss that.
Well, it's so neat you're there to take those calls. And now you're going to get more calls because we're telling the world that you're there. So I hope that's okay.
That's great. We're all in this together.
That's why I love school food. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for sharing the inside story. This is really an important new resource. And there is a link on today's show page. But for folks hearing this off of iTunes or Stitcher, remember that the URL is freshmeals.org, and from that page you can select Fresh Meals Recipes, which is at the bottom of the menu to the left. This is Inside School Food. We have been speaking with Sandy Kerwood, who is Director of Childhood Nutrition Services for the Conejo Valley Unified School District in Thousand Oaks, California. After station break, we visit with Natomas Unified School District, where high school students help develop dishes for the Fresh Meals database. So stay with us. Ready to get creative with whole grains? USDA's new rules credit a delicious spectrum of options that are new to school food, from many varieties and colors of rice to intact grains like wheat berries, quinoa, and barley. Don't know where to start? InHarvest is here to help. Their K-12 chef, Colleen Donnelly, is at the ready with training strategies and menu solutions that she can adapt to your setting, your kitchens, your budget, your staff, and your students' preferences. With InHarvest as your partner, excite your customers with multicultural whole grain rice bowls, pilafs, cold grain salads, and shaker salads. Jazz up breakfast with yogurt parfaits made with InHarvest Sunrise Blend, a high protein mix of ancient wheat, buckwheat groats, red rice, quinoa flakes, and whole brown flaxseed. InHarvest, cultivating healthy preferences for whole grains at school for life. For more information, visit InHarvest.com. Welcome back on today's Inside School Food, the story behind a fabulous and free online recipe database for school meals created by school cooks for school cooks. And we're about to learn how in one district, some of these school cooks are customers too. And they're having a ball in the kitchen. So we have two guests on the line from Natomas Unified School District in Sacramento. Vince Coggan is Director of Nutrition Services and Rachel Relador is a senior at Indercombe High School. Before coming to Natomas 4 years ago, Vince served as department chair at Le Cordon Bleu in Los Angeles, where he developed culinary academic curriculum. Rachel has just been accepted at California Polytechnic State U, or it's known in California, Cali Poly, and she's considering a double major in sports and nutrition science, inspired in part by her experience as a member of Indercombe's Culinary Club. So, Vince and Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to have you.
You there, Rachel?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning. So, Vince, let's start with you. Just tell us a little bit about your district. For starters, how big is it?
So our district is about 14,000 students. In 2009, I think New York Times rated us the second most diverse district in the nation. So we have a little bit of everything with the student population here.
Right, right. And what is your free reduce rate?
Excuse me?
What is your free and reduce rate?
So our free and reduce is 55%.
Yeah, so you're in that middle place. So you really do have to concern yourself with your participation. So Vince, you know, how have the menus changed since you joined the district? You've been there for 4 years now.
So in 4 years, it's slowly transitioning into more speed scratch cooking, and we're growing our farm to fork program mostly through California Farm to Fork. The mayor named us Farm to Fork Capital of the Nation. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we're a California Thursday district. But otherwise than that, what I like about the menus as I look back at it is I see and I have stories of the meals and how we develop them with students. Mm-hmm. So as students graduate, as students move up, I can remember going to a club meeting or going to a student council meeting or doing a catering event, and how those meals that they serve or they pitch end up on the menu.
Right. So that's what we really want to hone in on here. It's really an interesting process you have for involving students, you know, way more deeply than the kind of things like taste testing that we hear a lot about. And it all flows from the Culinary Club. So, Rachel, tell us about the club. Who's in it, and when do you meet?
So our culinary club at Indercombe High School, so we started off as just a, bunch of students doing science projects and on culinary-based projects, and then today, you know, we've grown into a club about 15 to 20, like, active members, and we meet every Thursday. Some of the stuff we've done in the past is we've cooked for the Capitol, we've cooked at board meetings for our district, and we've also done things like California Thursday when we're at the Capitol, and then we've just, been active helping around the district and doing events for our school as well.
Right. When you say you're cooking at the Capitol, I know that you've been involved in promoting California Thursdays and basically making it official. So that's been a nice experience for you. On a more regular basis, you are actually catering certain events in the school district, like teachers' meetings and the Honor Society talent show and stuff. Do you, do you make money on your catering gigs?
It depends on the event. So one of the things that we've done is, we voluntarily cook for the for board member or for faculty at our school once a month. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely, we don't make any money off of that, but we're just doing it to show appreciation for teachers. And then some of the other things we've done is, at, the National Honor Society event I was talking about, we get some of the profit for that because we're also collaborating with National Honor Society, so the proceeds, some of those go to them, and then the rest that we make for selling the food goes towards us and just promoting our club throughout the school.
Mm-hmm. And then as you and Vince explained to me, that the main kind of you know, avenue for developing dishes that eventually end up in the USDA lunch program in your district is this thing called the Tiger Cafe. Tell me what that is. That's four times a year. What happens at the Tiger Cafe?
Oh, so at our Tiger Bazaar at our school, so we have, so there's these set days at our school where every, like, all these different clubs and different programs in our school are allowed to sell food that's not, you know, under school regulations and everything.
Right, so regulation free, so it's like a free day.
Yeah, so on those set days, we get to, our club personally, we get to come up with recipes and try out these different foods that we think, you know, students might like in the future. And, you know, as of right now, you know, they're not under, like we said, school regulations, but INS has helped us develop them into recipes that, you know, we could have later on in the future. So,
yeah.
Some of the things we've tried are like Hawaiian barbecue plates, and we had carne asada fries. And then recently we just tried some chicken Alfredo pasta.
Yeah, so I think it's a neat process because basically you're free to exercise, you know, your creativity, and then Vince and his team work with you to do something that we call schoolifying. So taking these dishes that might be a little bit high in sodium or fat or whatever the issue is, and they tinker with them. So Vince, I you know, I wonder if you can tell me how that process works. Rachel mentioned the Hawaiian plate lunch, for instance, which is not a meal I think of as being, you know, particularly USDA compliant. It's got macaroni, it's got rice, there's like not a lot of vegetables going on, but it's wonderful. So what did you do with the students' Hawaiian plate lunch to make it work in a school lunch setting?
So we took that dish, and I like it because that dish sold out. So it lets me know, as someone who's playing the menu, students love that dish profile.
Mm-hmm.
So we schoolify it, as you say, and doing things like trying to source a USDA commodity meat or a local meat.
Mm-hmm.
They served it with white rice, which we'll serve with local brown rice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit sticky. And then the macaroni salad, if it fits within the regulations, we're looking into a whole grain macaroni.
Mm-hmm.
And serving it with shredded cabbage as a bed. So not only am I taking their dish that they pitched and that they sold and they like, but definitely trying to fit it within regulations, packaging, cost, et cetera.
Yeah, it's pretty creative. And it's the first time I've ever heard of a Hawaiian plate lunch on the menu in schools. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned some other dishes that are really popular that started with your students, the barbecue chicken slugger with rice. And for that one, you're using the local Mary's chicken grown without antibiotics. Can you tell me how that dish kind of came to be?
Yeah, another Tiger Bazaar event. Our motto is, we can't beat them, where food trucks are coming and they're coming out with non-regulated food.
Mm-hmm.
We joined them, so we took our barbecue out and we said, let's do something a little unconventional. Let's barbecue this chicken, put it over a bed of rice, serve it with some corn. It was school compliant, and it was just an idea, and it sold out. So definitely from there, we helped develop it with the culinary club and
mm-hmm.
schoolified it and put it on the menu. And it's one of our Culinary Center recipes.
Yeah, it's great. It's on the website. I learned about your program when we first were in touch, and you told me about your quinoa tabbouleh, and there was a pretty deep culinary club involvement in getting that recipe to work with kids. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so that one, what I like about that dish is it takes on the students and the staff's personalities. It's their dish. They came up with it. Definitely the quinoa is a good way to get whole grain in.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the tabbouleh, just chopping up parsley and then getting the flavor profiles in there.
Mm-hmm.
We hear things. I walk into one of the development meetings and they're saying things like, hey, it needs more acid,
mm-hmm.
or what if we chilled it a little bit longer? And I mean, these are things that high school students are saying.
Yeah, and they're communicating it back to you and your staff. So that's,
yeah.
It sounds like a pretty deep involvement in not just developing the recipes from the beginning, but adapting them for school. And I understand that you kind of run the new ones through your smaller supper program to see how they'll fly before you go into full production. So that sounds like a sort of extra measure of security, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, good. That's just good thinking. So, Rachel, when you know once your creations, you know, your plate lunch and your popcorn chicken with mashed potato bowl and black bean taco salad, that, you know, these are things you created. Once they're schoolified, would you say the club chefs are happy with the outcome, or do they sort of not taste quite right to you?
As a club, well, some of the suggestions that previous members have made, you know, they don't actually get to see it because one of the members, like, they've graduated, but once you do it, but it definitely is, great seeing, you know, seeing our recipes that we've, you know, inspired in a school menu, even though, you know, it doesn't taste exactly the same, mm-hmm. It has to be under schoolified, but, you know, it's definitely something, you know, that we like to see because, you know, it's our suggestions going into the school menu.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think that students who are not in the culinary club are aware that these dishes originated with the club, that they're, you know, developed by their peers? And do you think that makes them more popular is my second question.
Yeah, I think it does, definitely, to see something. And we could definitely promote these meals, you know, saying that we as culinary club have inspired them, so... And they're usually something that that we've tried out during, like, Tiger Bazaars where, you know, they're really popular. So seeing these dishes definitely makes them a lot more palatable for the students and something that we definitely enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. So another, you know, possible way to bring up participation. I think, Vince, it's ingenious, and these students are having a lot of fun. And Rachel, I understand you're not the only person in the club who's considering some kind of career in nutrition or culinary arts as a result of their experience, right?
Yeah, we have some underclassmen who are definitely enjoying the club, and I think that they would think about going into the food industry after, you know, their experience here. So it's definitely giving them some background into what it's like to work in the food industry and, you know, some culinary arts experience. So I think that in the future they would definitely like to go into something like this and maybe doing it as a side career.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Well, Vince and Rachel, you really are both to be congratulated on making this kind of intensive student collaboration with food service so successful. It's a terrific model, and thank you for joining us today to tell us about it.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Vince. You've been listening to Vince Coggan and Rachel Relador from Natomas Unified School District in San Diego. Vince is food service director, and Rachel is one of his student partners in recipe development from Indercom High School Culinary Club. This is Inside School Food, and with the launch of this spring season, we are entering our third year on the air with Heritage Radio Network. And I have to say, during all this time, I've been very remiss in not giving a shout out to the talented, indispensable people in the engineers booth who make us sound so good on the air. So they've never complained, but today I want to give thanks to today's engineer, Heritage Radio executive producer Jack Inslee. And also a big thank you and welcome to In Harvest, who joins us today as a sponsor for the first time. I've been a huge fan of their progressive work in school food for years, so it's an honor to have them aboard. Next week, are you thinking of moving to a food court model in your high schools? If you are, you won't want to miss our conversation with two experts in this increasingly a popular approach to school food service. I'm Laura Stanley, and I am looking forward to having you back.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.